grew up in Christianity, who have been suffering, who've had nothing but problems your whole life. Every other situation has turned into a struggle. I know why, and I'm going to share why this is happening to you today. Number one, the first thing that you need to understand is that you have never been given the name of God, the Father. Okay, and I'm going to prove this to you today. Why do I say that? Because the word God is a title. It's not a name. It can also be what we would refer to as a common noun, depending on how you're using it. So, for example, as a title, when you're referring to a God, like the God of Christianity, Judaism, or Islam, sometimes people will try to treat it as a proper noun by capitalizing it. However, that is not his name, that is his title. It's not the same thing as a name. So if you're trying to invoke an energy, a spiritual God or goddess, and you're just saying, Lord, God, save me. Well, there are literally millions of different gods that have been invoked over the past eons. So you don't know, or they don't know, who you're talking to. You're literally, it's almost like you're saying, son, come here, son. And you're in a big old auditorium full of people. Well, there are tons of sons in there. Or if you were to say, mama, mama, and you're yelling out, but you don't call her by her name, there are tons of mothers. There are millions of mothers out there. So that's the first thing. God is not a name. It's not a proper name. It's a common name. It's a common noun. And it's something that's used to refer to literally any deity. That's why in the Bible it said, you shall have no other gods before me. Meaning that there are more than one. All right. So that's the first thing. If you go into the Bible itself, the Bible had many different names or titles for God. But as you begin to dissect these names, you're going to quickly realize that all this stuff is nothing but a title. Okay? And these titles reflect his nature, his character, and his relationship with humanity. But again, they're not giving you his real name. For example, the word YHWH, which they have translated into the word Yahweh or Jehovah, is the most sacred name of God, meaning I am who I am. So again, I am, the great I am, is not his name. It's a title. That was found in Exodus 3:14. So they also told you, well, we'll call him Lord. Again, Lord is not a name. It's a title. There are many lords, many, many lords. Well, some people will say, well, what about the word Elohim? Isn't Elohim the name of God? No, it's not. It's a general term for God, and it emphasizes his power and his majesty, such as in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, the Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now, if you do a deeper research into Elohim, the Elohim were actually plural. They were not singular. The Bible uses Elohim to refer to pagan deities in Exodus 12:12. In Deuteronomy 32:17, it says, you shall have no other gods or Elohim before me. Exodus 20:3. So that goes back to the polytheistic origins that everybody knew on the planet for many years. They knew that it was more than one God. And some scholars actually argue that the early Israelite religion acknowledged these other gods. But then later they shifted into monotheism. Let's go a little bit deeper into this thing, guys. El Shaddai. Wasn't that his name? No, it's not. El Shaddai just means God Almighty. You find that in Genesis 17:1. I am El Shaddai. Walk before me faithfully. All right. Again, that's a title. How about Adonai? Or Adonai, depending on how you pronounce it, A-D-O-N-A-I. Well, that again means Lord or Master. It's not his name. You got the El Elyon, E-L-E-L-Y-O-N. God Most High is what that translates into. Genesis 14, 18 through 20. And it says, Melchizedek blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by El Elyon. Again, that is a title. Some people say, well, what about the word Yahweh? I know Yahweh definitely has to do it. We're going to break that down. You had Yahweh Jireh. That literally means the Lord will provide. Found in Genesis 22 and 14. Yahweh Rapha means the Lord who heals. Exodus 15 and 26. Again, a title. Yahweh Nisi means the Lord is my banner. Exodus 17 and 15. Yahweh Shalom means the Lord is peace. Judges 6 and 24. Yahweh Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalms 23 and 1. Yahweh Tiskinu, the Lord our righteousness. This is what that translates into. Jeremiah 23 and 6. Yahweh Shema, it means the Lord is there. Ezekiel 48 and 35. So again, the word Yahweh just means Lord. That's not his name. So these people that's telling you, we worship Yahweh, they're worshiping the Lord. But again, there are many lords. The word Lord is nothing more than a title. And you see it used in both the general use as well as the biblical use. For example, if you look at it from a secular point of view, Lord is the title for nobility, like Lord Byron. In the biblical use, all they did was translate Yahweh to mean Lord, and they capitalized it. But again, a Lord can be many different lords. Like you got landlords, Lord of the land. Let's look at this thing from descriptions. Now, there are tons of descriptions about God. If you look at Daniel 7 and 9, he was the Ancient of Days. Again, that tells about his character or how long he's been here, but it doesn't give you a name. Revelations 19 and 16, he's the King of Kings. John 1 and 1, the Word or Logos. Jesus is God's expression. Again, not giving you his name. Revelations 5 and 5, Lion of Judah. John 1 and 29, the Lamb of God. Again, these are descriptions, guys. These are not a name. Anytime you're invoking a deity, you must know the deity's name. If you do not have a name to invoke, you will literally just open the door up to a whole legion of different beings because there's so many different versions. It's almost like you're calling on a human. Okay, well, there are tons of humans. I'm hoping by now you're trying to see where I'm going with this one. So at this point, you don't know God's name. So what did they do? They defaulted to his son. The son's name, again, was Jesus. All right, so everybody know Jesus. So at this point, they told you that the only way to him, to God, was through the son. That's the only way, right? Well, you must what? Identify with Christ. If I identify with Christ, that means that now I'm going to be vulnerable to suffering. Why? Because they taught you that in order to identify with Christ, you must suffer with him. But they also told you that eventually you have some type of divine purpose and promise in the afterlife. So while you're living this life, you're going to have hell on earth. Some preachers will try to make you believe that, no, that ain't true. If I identify with Christ, then he paid the sins. He was the holy sacrifice. He did all these things so we don't have to suffer. That's a darn lie. Jesus actually warned his followers that they would suffer in John 15 and 20. In Matthew 10 and 22, he said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. John 3, 19 through 20. You will be hated by all because of my name. Why? Because the world opposes Christ's truth. You have to remember, at the time that this character popped up on the scene, you already had all types of established spiritual practices that had been here for thousands of years. Then the bum came. I call Jesus the bum. Why? Because he came in broke and he left broke. He was born in a manger. The people who raised him were poor. He suffered his whole life. He died a miserable death, with them putting a crown of thorns on his head. So when you're invoking Jesus, you're invoking all the pain, all the torment, all of the suffering. Look at Acts 5 and 41. Suffering for Christ is a privilege. It's what they teach you. They'll tell you that that's not a punishment. Philippians 1 and 29, the apostles left rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Here's another one, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. It has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. So they tell you that suffering actually confirms the identity in Christ. So you're wondering why you don't have anything, why life is so hard, why you can barely pay your bills. Why is it so hard for me? I go from man to man. I go from job to job. Everywhere I go, they hate me. It's because you are invoking Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16 says, our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. All right, so they believe that by you suffering today, you're going to have something better in the afterlife. They say this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory. So again, the purpose of the suffering is to refine the faith, and it fuels eternal reward. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 through 12, and then Hebrews 4 and 15 teaches you that you're not alone in it. We don't have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Isaiah 43 and 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. So again, by invoking Jesus, you're taking suffering a poor life onto yourself, because he was the spiritual bum. And they put this bum on top of all of humanity because they wanted to conquer the world. Prior to Christianity, the gods had names. You knew what their names were. They weren't speaking to you in riddles. So you didn't ask the gods, what is your name, Lord? And they tell you, I am that I am. That's like if you ask a man, sir, what is your first and last name so we could put you down on this debt? And they tell you, my name is mother daughter. Okay? They're talking in riddles. They didn't give you anything but the spiritual bum. Look at it again. Revelations 2 and 10. It says, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example. So he was the example of the suffering. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So within your lifetime, they set up a spiritual system to ensure that all of humanity would suffer. And you're supposed to get pie in the sky. So when you invite Christ into your life, you are inviting suffering. You're inviting rejection. You're inviting spiritual warfare. And you're inviting cultural hostility. Now, who are the biggest Christians? Who are the ones that will die for Christ? The ones that have not turned from the faith are your black people, especially African Americans or black Americans. They are the most diehard Christians you ever see. Now let's look at what's happened within the African American community since they all accepted Christ. Now I will be fair in saying this. These things, Christ was literally forced on many of them because all of our culture was stolen from us. So they took our great, great, great grandparents and they taught them all this foolishness of Jesus Christ. The first thing that they do when they go into any country is they send in the missionaries. They don't send in the war machines. They send in the missionaries to go in there and spread the gospel. Right now, they're spreading it all in Africa, trying to get all the tribal people out of their ancient way so that they can finish colonizing. Why? Because they know, again, they're going to invoke the spiritual boom. They're going to destroy the altars. They're going to destroy the shrines. They're going to get rid of the ancestral spirits. They're going to strip them of their culture. They're going to force them to admit or to identify with Christ. Then they bring in the war machine. That's the way it works. and they tell you that this is temporary, and one day in all in eternity you're going to be with God. Again, this God has no name. We don't know what his name is because they never gave it to you. All they gave you was Lord God. That's all you got. Regardless of what it sounds like, it's the Lord God. Okay, so you have a title. We don't really know who this God really is. All we know is what has been written down about what he has done. Him and his bummy son. Now, I want to go back to times before this foolishness hit the planet. Christianity hit the planet. And I want to go back to ancient Kemet because, again, this is where the Spirit has led me. When you look at ancient Kemet, they had gods and goddesses who had real names. And everybody knew their names. You could invoke them. We had Osiris. We had Isis. We had Bastet. We had Hathor. We had a bunch of different deities. And each one, we knew who they were. And we were able to call on them. And when they came down, they were able to help us. And they were real. They were absolutely real. People will try to teach you today that they were figments and forces of nature. That they were not real. They were very real. They had temples built to them. They had incantations written into the tomb. They had all types of evidence, archaeological evidence, that these people were worshiping real gods. In fact, their kingdoms lasted for thousands of years. They invoked these deities, they appeased the deities, they interacted with the deities through rituals, prayers, and magic. How did it work? The gods, again, were active spirits, and they saw these gods like Isis, Osiris, Thoth, Hathor, literal forces that govern nature, fate, and the daily life. They were ancestral spirits. Literally the deceased pharaohs who became divine like Osiris, who could intercede for the living. This was the history of your ancestors. Our gods were our ancestors who died a very long time ago. They took this and they put it in the Bible and told you that God is the Father God. That's where they got that from the ancestral worship of the indigenous people, back to Black Americans. If you look at the history of Black Americans, we had so much wealth, so many different things. Like they're finding today, they're finally letting you know we were already in America and we were conquered. They lied and said you came here on boats. Very few Black people came here on a boat because it was just logistically retarded to try to bring on millions of people over here on a boat across a rough ocean way back then. It's a lot easier to conquer the people that's already there and enslave those people, just like they told you they did in their Bibles. But over time, as those people fail, as we fail, because we walked away from our ancestral spirits and lost all of our spiritual power, now you see today the end result, because they're identifying with the bum, Jesus. And so now the prisons are filled with Black men. You have all types of broken homes. You have all types of people strung out on drugs. You have poverty running rampant. No longer do you see Tulsa, Oklahoma, wealthy places, land barons, and oil people. All you see now is a lot of poverty, a lot of despair, and a lot of dysfunction. Why? Because they all identify with Christ, and they joined Christianity and got lost in the ghost religion with a God who we don't know who the heck he is, or where he actually came from, because he ain't telling. But you do know that his son was a bum. And everybody's holding on to the bum Jesus.
And on that note, you know what time it is. It's time for a spirit break.
Now back to ancient Kemet. How did they invoke these gods? Because at this point, it's time that we wake up. The energy's back on the planet. We need a god with a name that we can actually invoke and get some work done so we can have a better life experience, because that's what ritual and spirituality is supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be about for you to live in the afterlife in a mansion while you're living in a shack here. You're supposed to bring heaven to earth. You're supposed to have the abundant life, not when you die, but right here, right now, and in the afterlife. Okay, that's the difference between what your ancestors had and the crap that you have today. You're not supposed to be at the bottom of the totem pole for the rest of your natural life, and then when you die, all of a sudden you skip on into these pearly gates. That was the trick. That was the thing that they did, the sleight of hand that they did to get all of our people lost and screwed over while they're living good today and you have absolutely nothing. So how did they do it? Number one, you have to invoke the gods, and they do this through temple rituals. They use daily offerings where the statues of the gods were awakened. How do you awaken the statues? Well, first of all, you need a statue. The Bible gonna tell you, or Christianity gonna tell you, those are idols. They're not idols. Those are symbols. That's how magic works. You have to have something to symbolize in the physical what you're invoking from the spiritual world. So you have to awaken it. How do you awaken it? You use food, incense, and hymns, music. For example, they had the opening of the mouth ritual where they literally breathe life into divine images. You can purchase things on Amazon. You can print stuff out, the images of these deities. I have some where I printed out the Mother Goddess, got her picture, printed it, put it in a frame, put the things that represent her around it, and you breathe life into it. That's how you do it. Another way is oracle consultations. The gods would speak through statue movements. For example, I remember a few years ago, they had some ancient Kemetic or Egyptian statues in a museum, and the statue literally turned on its own. And the people that worked in the museum got scared out of their wits because, again, your ancestors were not doing hocus pocus. They were actually working with real gods and goddesses who actually had divine energy that could interface with matter. So they're able to control things and move things and get things to do all types of stuff. The next thing, personal devotion. Everybody had a household shrine, and they would go to their shrine just like you go to church and they have an altar at church. Everybody had an altar in their homes, and they would pray, and they would ask for protection. They would do different things within the homes to make sure they have blessings within the homes. Your God is supposed to be able to protect you. He or she is supposed to be able to bless you. That's the whole reason you honor them. Why would you be honoring something, a spook, or something you don't know what in the world it is, just because it's just something that they told you to do? No, you did it because there was a reason behind it, because they were going to protect you. They were going to help you. They were going to save you, not in the afterlife, but in this life. Amulets and spells. The Eye of Horus was used to ward off evil. They would take the coffin text and they invoked Anubis for safe passage into the afterlife. They also did things with words that had power. Okay, we know words are power. Like they told you, it's power in the name. Well, how is it going to be power in the name if you don't know what the name is? So first of all, you got to know the names, okay? Then you can speak to them and you can ask them things, and they'll answer because now you're talking to the right person. So for example, a spell from the Book of the Dead or Coming Forth by Day states, O Thoth, rescue me from the demon who attacks in the darkness. There were other things they would do where they would take clay figurines of their enemies and they would literally smash them to invoke curses on them. So there's different things, again, you can do, which is what they had you do. When they went in and they colonized, they told the indigenous people to destroy the altars, to smash all these idols. Well, when you did this, you did not realize you were cursing yourself. Which is why today you're suffering and today you don't have anything. It's because they taught you that Egypt was the devil. Don't go over there. Don't fool with the Eye of Ra. Those are demons. That's the pentagram. And you don't realize that what they just did was a destiny swap. So now you went from living in the mansions and the palaces and running the darn planet to having absolutely nothing. And now they're running the planet and they're living in the mansions and they're doing all stuff because they're secretly going into their secret societies and they're practicing your ancient way while they gave you the boom. That's what they did. They knew that these gods were real. Why? Because miracles came. They could pray. They could pray to Khnum, which was the ram god, and he would end droughts. They could do rain dances, and all of a sudden, it rained. They could use healing statues of Horus that were dipped into water to cure people from scorpion stings. So it wasn't hocus pocus. They knew it worked. And again, the biggest thing here that you want to remember, especially those of you of these divine ancient bloodlines, is that if you have turned away from your gods of old, you are now living under a curse. Why? Because you are calling them demons and you're refusing to honor them. Therefore, they're going to send plagues on you. That's the way it works. And these colonists knew this. They studied you. They knew how things worked. They knew you had real power. They had to deceive you into giving it up so that they could take over and rule. All right, now, so if you look at the difference between what the people back then believed versus the scholars today, it's a big difference. The people back then knew that the gods were real. They knew that they were able to inhabit statues, that they could visit you in your dreams, that they could change the course of natural events. Today, all of a sudden, you got all these people popping up telling you, no, they weren't real. They were just cultural constructs. They were just forces of nature. They were not. They were real. In fact, you have some neo-pagans who still invoke them to this day. But the biggest difference I want to point out between Christianity and Egyptian worship was the fact that Yahweh, which again just means Lord, this Lord God forbids idolatry in Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 5. Whereas in our ancient culture, we required images. We needed statues, which is why our temples were full of images, full of what they call hieroglyphs. Why? Because again, Christ the bum, he claims that all his power comes from having faith in him. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Versus in Egypt, we knew that we needed ritual. Ritual was extremely important in order to manipulate the facets of reality. And of course, we know it worked. How do we know it worked? Because we had civilizations that thrived for millennia by doing the things that they told you not to do. Versus today, because you're following the bone and the mysterious God that no one has ever seen or know his name, all of a sudden today, you have absolutely nothing. You're broke. You got flat pockets and you got baloney, don't even have a first name, okay? That's how we know the darn stuff is real. So don't let anybody come to you and try to pull the wool over your eyes and tell you, oh, that's not real. They weren't really doing those things. They were just forces of nature. Those are lies. They were real. It was way more real than the crap you got today. And that's why you're living under a curse, because you're following and invoking the energy of a bum. And if you keep doing it, you're going to stay under a curse. You're going to be born broke and you're going to die broke. Why? Because you are identifying with the bone. Instead of you find some deities who actually got some real power that can give you a better life experience. So I want to give you just a couple of names, a couple of different gods and goddesses, some real ones that you can actually invoke and begin to change your life for the better. So the first one I want to talk about, of course, is the Great Mother, which was Isis, which again, I told you guys, she ruled the planet for many, many years. Many, many, many generations, thousands of generations prayed to the Great Mother. They invoked her because she was great of magic. She had healing and divine protection. She could protect the women and the children. What's happening right now on the planet, ladies? Sex trafficking is going through the freaking roof. Why? Because you're calling on the bum. The bum is not going to help you. He thinks you being in these sex places is suffering for his sake. You don't want to end up in there. So what do? You're going to start working with the coffin techs. You're going to start working with ISIS to ward off these demons who want to take you and traffic you and sell your daughters and kids off into slavery, modern day slavery today. The simplest way to do this, guys, is to get a picture of ISIS or get her statue. You can get it off of Amazon. You want to invoke her energy. The same way you've been praying to the bum Jesus, you want to start praying to ISIS. And you want to ask her for divine protection. You want to begin to honor her. Figure out what her favorite incense is, what her favorite flowers are. Spend time at your altar, and you will see a huge change in your life. Another real God whose name I can give you is Horus, the falcon god who defended the pharaohs in battle. So if you have something that you need some help with, you got some kind of problem that you need some divine, spiritual forces, you want to call on Horus. Same deal. Get one of his statues. You want to start invoking his energy. It can be as simple as taking the book of Psalms and praying the 23rd Psalm, but replace the word God or Lord with Horus. And you will see a huge change in your life when you start working with Horus, because he's extremely powerful. The next one you might want to try working with is Bes, household god who guarded against evil spirits and dangers in childbirth. You got so many women today who can't conceive. So many black women are dying in labor today. So you want to begin again to get that kind of divine protection so that you have safety. You know that when I go into the hospital, I'm going to come out. All right, my baby's going to be just fine because I've given offerings. When I say offerings, it's not money. It's not like what they told you with this Lord God. What you can do is you can do food. You can do incense. You can do prayers. Just begin to honor them, people. Call on them. Make a relationship with them. It's almost like this. If you had a person who only called you when they needed something, you're going to feel like they're using me. Your ancestors or these gods and goddesses want a relationship with you. They want to be able to be there with you and for you and to lead and guide and help you so that you have a better life experience. That's what spirituality is all about. The way that it was set up originally was you're supposed to be spending time with them. Just like you call your aunts and uncles on the phone, you can literally go to your altar, just sit there, meditate, put on some soft music, burn some incense, talk to them the way that you talk to your aunts and your uncles and check on them, see how they doing. Spend time with them, honor them. That's what you do. That's what they want you to do. And then they will gladly help you because they have a relationship with you. Osiris, he's the one that you can call on, again, fertility. He's linked to agriculture. If you're trying to plant some vegetables in the yard, you want to make sure you get a bountiful harvest. I would invoke Osiris. You got Ptah, the patron of craftsmen. You know, people would pray to him for success. If you know, I got an interview, I got something coming up, I need some help with this, go to him. You got Hathor, the goddess of joy and abundance. A lot of people would worship her. Your miners, because they wanted to get big, beautiful stones out of the earth. She can give you that. She can put that in the earth for you to find. That's how it works. And all of a sudden, once you start working with these gods, some real gods and goddesses, somebody you can actually call them by name and invoke, man, I'm telling you, girl, oh, your life is going to change for the better. The other day, I found a journal. The entries in it was from 2021. And at that time, oh, I felt, you could just see the despair in the pages, just sadness, despair. Everything was going wrong. I was broke. I had no money. I didn't have a vehicle. I didn't know what I was going to do. And the spirits told me to take the book of Psalms. And when you read the book of Psalms, you're going to start in the place of God and Lord, Start putting Osiris, start putting Isis, start putting these different real gods and goddesses in those places. Well, 4 years later, everything that I needed, I have. Today, I have transportation. Today, I have housing. Today, I have safety. Today, I have provision. Today, I have savings. Today, I have everything. They have given me everything I need to survive within this lifetime. And they delight in giving. They delight in me going to the mailbox and there's a check with my name on it. They delight with me getting promotions on my job. They delight giving me just little gifts and things just because I honor them, because I reference them, because I teach others about them. They love that. And that's what it should be like with your God or your goddess. Your God and goddess should not require you to suffer for them. They don't need your suffering. They want you to live an abundant life. Now, I'm not saying that you're never going to have a problem, because problems will come. That's just part of being on earth. But it shouldn't be one big struggle. Things shouldn't be so hard on you to the point where you just want to off yourself. You want to kill yourself. You just want to give up. The only reason you're here is because of your kids. You shouldn't be living like that. At some point, you should have the abundant life. And again, if you don't go back to the ancient way and stop with this crap that your enemies gave you, you are going to live and die a miserable life. Miserable life. And for your own sake, I pray that people who have given their life away in honor of this boom that they gave them, I hope for their sake there's a heaven over there for them. Because Lord, if it's not, if they get over there and realize I've been had and I've been had bad, while my enemies was living in mansions, while my enemies was taking my land, while my enemies was living in the houses I should have had. Because it's not hard. Life is not hard once you align yourself with these divine beings. When they go and look at these tombs that your ancestors had, they're full of gold, full of treasure, full of wealth. Streets of gold were in Kemet. Some of those pyramids were overlaid in gold, and they went in there and chiseled them and took all the wealth, took all the things for themselves, all because you fell for this spook, this mystery God that no man has seen, and he ain't related to nobody. They got you calling him father. He's not your father. He is not your ancestors. They did sleight of hand with you. They destiny swapped. And they took your blessings from you. And it's time that you take your blessings back. Give them back that bum. Tell them you don't want the bum. You want to know who you are, where you came from, and where you're going. Just like your ancestors knew. Just like your ancestors did. And all of a sudden, I promise you, your life is going to change for the better.
Radio station in the world is right here, right now.
The Golden Race, conscious radio for the conscious community.